I get it. I get it. You can't spend all day listening to some spectacular podcast about fantasy football. But if you did miss the show last week and you want to know what you missed, here's a little recap. So, and I know we've been talking about this for a while, that you think that Cheetos should come out with a bag of just the really little pieces of Cheetos that are left at the bottom of the crunchy bag.
Okay, and I'm going to sue anybody that takes this from me, or did somebody already do it?
No, it's just I found a story that Cheetos has come up with an official name for the residue that's left on your fingers after you eat them.
I heard Cheeto.
Yeah, do you like that?
No.
I thought it was kind of goofy too, but you know, it's what are you gonna do?
Can we talk? Can anybody say if they think I'm right that they should come up with like a just a little sleeve, probably about, you know, 99 cents for the sleeve, and it's just
like a little prize inside the Cheeto bag, like Cracker Jack.
Oh no, I think they should sell it separate. Like
make tons.
Yeah, like even like a little bag, like the corn nuts or whatever. I think it would be awesome.
Oh. And you would call, you know, you can't really call, I don't think Cheeto crack would be good because that would be like a drug thing. Because I know it's
but
new,
it is.
It's crack.
Yeah, it's crack.
Say what?
The other big thing that really made me sad after the game is I feel horrible for Joe Burrow. He's clearly the best player coming out in the draft this year, and he's going to be spending his career toiling away in Cincinnati, the team where all the good players go to die.
Right.
I'm actually hoping. What?
They're going to keep AJ Green. They have good wide receivers.
If AJ Green could stay alive.
Healthy too. Right.
So I'm actually hoping that he pulls a John Elway, because anyone out there who considers themselves a football fan should also wish for that. You don't want, I mean, you want the best quarterback to actually have a chance. I mean, it's because otherwise he's going to turn into Marcus Mariota. You know, the spectacular quarterback who goes to a team and, you know, team doesn't know how to use him.
Or the team, you know, goes to the divisional championship without him.
Can you imagine? They would be favorites this week if they had Marcus starting.
Oh, my God.
And now, here's this week's episode.
Welcome to the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast. All the information you need to make the most of your fantasy football league with just a touch of sarcasm to keep you from taking yourself too seriously. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this latest episode of the Cheddarhead Fantasy Football Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. It's Saturday. It's February 1st. It's Super Bowl weekend, and we're here with you today to go over everything you need to know about fantasy football and the Super Bowl, everything you can bet on in this weekend's Super Bowl between the Chiefs and the 49ers, and we have a fantasy girl, as always, and then we have a little one more thing, a little editorial from me regarding Kobe Bryant. The tragedy that happened this weekend. And it's going to be a little bit different than most people because I'm a little more cynical and not so quick to throw around love for somebody just because they died in a tragic way. But with all that being said, we're going to get this done. Dan's not here. He's got bruised ribs. He fell while at work, and he's been out of work for a week and not really able to drive. So I'm doing this baby solo, and we're going to get it going. Don't forget to check out the website, mycffl.com. Everything that is fit to be on that website is there. All our bets for this weekend's Super Bowl, they're up there. You can look them over, and you still have some time to get some bets in. May not be at the same prices that we got them, but hey, there's still some bets out there to be won for this weekend. This is the weekend of all the fun Super Bowl prop bets that we'll be going over, ones that I put some money down on. Also, you want to email us, send us some emails, cffpodcast at hotmail.com, or you can get Dan by writing to strap1971 at yahoo.com. And also don't forget the fan line, 414-520-8249. Leave us your voicemails or your text messages, and we'll play them and read them on the air. I have a feeling there might be a couple this weekend after my Kobe Bryant one more thing, but that's just me. But let's get this thing going, shall we? We're gonna get going with the news and notes for Super Bowl weekend. Here we go. It's time, the news and notes, Super Bowl weekend news and notes, and there's not a lot, but what we do have, it's important stuff because it's going to mean things for your team going into next year, and we start with this one. Carolina Panthers tight end Greg Olsen, he has announced that he and the Panthers have come to an understanding that Olsen will leave the team. I do not know for sure if this means Olsen's career is done, or if he's going to pick up with another team looking for a veteran tight end. But either way, it's not going to be with Carolina. It is, however, understandable that this move would happen considering that the Panthers are likely going to be making a good bunch of changes within the team. I mean, there's new staff in place. They have a new head coach. And I am also still quite confident, as I've been saying all season long, that they will soon be getting rid of Cam Newton via trade or outright cut. As far as Greg Olsen goes, he was a serviceable tight end ever since he's been drafted by the Bears out of Miami. He had a lot of problems with injuries, and that kept him from being better than what we remember him being. But I am sure that he is not done. He's probably going to play, I would say, at least one more season. He'll probably be with another team. Like I said, looking for a veteran tight end. Next up, if the Chiefs end up winning the Super Bowl this weekend, don't be surprised if we as fans and fantasy football owners end up with a season without Sammy Watkins. That's right. Watkins has announced that if the team wins the Super Bowl, he may decide to sit out next season and just chill. Must be nice to have all kinds of money where you don't have to work a year, right? He isn't certain whether he will do it or not. He confirmed that it wouldn't be a retirement, just a relaxation time. He even suggested going somewhere else and creating another Super Bowl team. Sammy Watkins said he may go somewhere else and create another Super Bowl team. Now, frankly, I was unaware that Sammy Watkins was the brains behind the construction of the current Chiefs team. But hey, what do I know? Maybe it's possible. Maybe Big Andy Reid had nothing to do with it. But maybe it was all Sammy Watkins, the evil genius of talent in the NFL. Next up, Philip Rivers has announced that he and his family, this is an older story, that they're going to be finally getting the hell out of Crapafornia, and then they'll be headed to Florida. Immediately, the speculation has started about where he will be playing next season. And I'm going to tell you about three of the teams that I think are most likely of the four that the NFL.com analyst David Carr suggested. First one, Tampa Bay. I mean, and this is, of course, assuming that Tampa Bay is getting rid of Jameis Winston. But David Carr believes that all you need to do is look at what Arians did with Carson Palmer in Arizona. He took an older quarterback and got him to play some of his best football late in his career while taking the Cardinals on a deep postseason run. And it's obvious that Arians prefers veteran quarterbacks who are competitive and not afraid to take chances. He just would prefer one that doesn't throw 30 interceptions in a season. Now, I don't know if that's Rivers. Rivers threw a good amount of interceptions this past season and was not very good. So do you have Jameis Winston for another year and see what he could do if he can get the interceptions in control? Or do you just jettison that plan and bring in an old guy, meaning you're just going to have to groom another young guy in a year or two when Philip Rivers is no longer able to play the game? Rivers would still have a highly talented receiver core like he did with the Chargers. and you'd be playing in better weather, better state for taxes, a better state overall. So that's the prognosis for Philip Rivers ending up in Tampa. The next one is Tennessee. And let's face it, no one truly believes that the Titans are going to re-sign a quarterback this year. They are not going to re-sign Ryan Tannehill. They are not going to make that mistake. I mean, he's a guy who's only capable of throwing six passes in a divisional round playoff game. They're not going to sign him to a big-time contract. Rivers wants just one more thing in his career, and that is to lift the Lombardi Trophy before he retires. You could easily argue that the Titans were just a quarterback away from doing that. Now, is that quarterback Philip Rivers? I don't know. But it surely ain't Ryan Tannehill. Rivers would be crazy not to consider signing with the Titans, who were just a couple of plays from the Super Bowl this year alone. And that was with, like I said, Ryan Tannehill. The other team you need to consider for Philip Rivers, the Carolina Panthers. Remember, Carol, this was my pick when I was saying that Philip Rivers wasn't going to be with the Chargers this year because he does not like L.A., and it's far too long of a drive from San Diego to L.A. every day to go to practice and go for games. My pick all along was Carolina Panthers. Remember, he went to school at North Carolina State. He's familiar with the area, and this would be my pick. If you remember back on, like I said, it makes sense, especially now with the signing of Matt Rhule as head coach. Rivers played his college ball in North Carolina, and Matt Rhule's system is very similar to the one that Rivers played with in the Chargers franchise. Much like the Titans, the Panthers roster is full of young, talented players on offense and a competent defense. And then there's also the talk that he would still remain with the Chargers, but that would be my least likely scenario. I think if you're going to plan on staying with the Chargers, you keep your family in San Diego and you make that little drive every day or every weekend up to L.A. It can't be worse than going from, say, Florida to Carolina or Florida to Tennessee or wherever he is in Florida to Tampa. So I'm not buying the idea that he's going to stay with the Chargers. It doesn't make sense at all. Next up, the Cincinnati Inquirer is reporting that impending free agent receiver A.J. Green is a player that the Bengals are planning to have on their roster next season. Green has said that he wants to remain in Cincinnati as long as the two sides can work something out. Well, he better be hoping that the two sides are working hard, because I cannot honestly see any other team that would be willing to take a chance on a guy who has only played one full season in four of his 9 years in the league. Or he's only played a full season four of his 9 years in the league. I'm sorry about that. And that includes last season when he didn't play a single snap, and the previous year when he only played nine games. You don't give a contract to a player you can't count on to be there. Would you even, if you are Cincinnati, waste your franchise tag? That is something that Cincinnati is going to have to think about, and I would hate to be in their shoes, but they are Cincinnati. Look at them to screw anything up that they can, because that's what they do. Reports out of New Orleans are that the team is going to need to wait about a month to find out if Drew Brees will be returning next season to play another year or not. Brees has already said that he will play for the Saints and no one. So that kind of whittles down his options a bit. The only thing left for him to do is to decide on whether or not he wants to make one final run at one more championship. Should Brees decide to hang it up, who do you want to see as a Saints quarterback? For me, you're stuck right now with Bridgewater or Taysom Hill. And Sean Payton is already saying that he does not see all three of those quarterbacks being back next year. So I don't know if he knows something, and he's talking about Drew Brees has already mentioned that he's going to be gone, or if this means they're going to be getting rid of either Bridgewater or Taysom Hill. Frankly, if it was me, I would be getting rid of Bridgewater and go with Taysom Hill. He seems to be, Taysom Hill at least, seems to be more of the direction that the NFL is going with quarterbacks nowadays. You know, the running and throwing all in one guy. I like his throwing talents more than Bridgewater, and I also think he is proving to be more durable than Bridgewater. I mean, you have a guy, Teddy Bridgewater is always going to have questions surrounding his ability to play every game of a season after that gruesome injury that he suffered years ago to his knee while he was with Minnesota. And on the other hand, you have Taysom Hill, who's in there playing defense. He's in there playing special teams. He's in there playing as a tight end. He's in there playing as a wildcat quarterback. He's in there as the quarterback. He's in there as a running back. Taysom Hill will do whatever he wants or whatever he needs to do in order to get on the field. And that's just the complete opposite of Teddy Bridgewater, who will run a little bit if he has to, can throw the ball kind of, but not as good as Taysom Hill, and can hand the ball off. I mean, that's basically Philip Rivers, who actually can't run. I would be comfortable giving Taysom Hill the reins for a short basis. I'd be comfortable giving Teddy Bridgewater the reins on a short-term basis as a backup, but I'd be worried about him as a full-season starter, where on the other hand, Taysom Hill has proven that he can do everything and do it well. Finally, did you see the story about Baker Mayfield saying that he is going to do a lot less talking next year? Baker said, quote, "Let's be honest, I put my foot in my mouth a lot this past year." And just to remind you of a few things, and these are ones I could remember, let's go over a list of the crazy, foolish statements from Baker this past season. And again, this is just some of them. He started the season by ostracizing Duke Johnson for requesting a trade in December. Then he badmouthed the Browns medical staff for how it handled OBJ's sports hernia during training camp. And then, you remember this one, he took an argumentative approach to Rex Ryan, calling him overrated, who called Baker Mayfield overrated as hell, and a one-read quarterback. Baker Mayfield shot back with, in the words of Freddie Kitchens, this is another quote, "If you don't wear orange and brown, you don't matter. And Rex Ryan doesn't have any colors right now for a reason, so it's okay." That's not the kind of guy that the NFL likes to have as their standard bearer, as you say. And like I said, I'm sure there's more that I either don't know about or don't remember, but either way, he's right. He needs to settle down and worry more about his abilities and get those working as best as he can. He needs to stop worrying about everybody else and worry more about Baker Mayfield. And with that, that's the news and notes, everybody. And we're going to get right into some gambling.
I'm by winning.
That's the wrong one. I do this every time. Push the wrong button thinking I know what I'm doing. But here we go. It's time for the Super Bowl gambling, everybody.
Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that.
I gotta warn you, Clark. They don't play the same games here that they do at them regular casinos.
That's right. It's the gambling time. It's the sports investing time. You can find all these bets that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to go over the prop bets because, as you know, the Super Bowl is the time when the prop bets are crazy. And they bet on pretty much everything. So we're going to go through those really quickly, and I'm going to end the segment with my picks for the game. And just to remind everybody, if you would have been using our game picks this season for the regular season and the playoffs, if you would have went with my picks last 2 weeks ago for the conference championships, my picks were 4-2, and that puts me at 136 and 246 for the season, and that's a 55% winning percentage. And on the other hand, Dan last week, during the conference championships. He went 3-3, and he ended the season at 72-135 and a 53% winning percentage. But Dan also had the three big parlay wins with his picks that put him way over the top on money winnings for this year. So let's start this week with the Super Bowl picks. And like I said, I'm going to run through all the prop bets, and you can follow along on the website, mycffl.com, on the sports investing page. There's a few bets left that we made at the beginning of the season before the football season even started. And one of those is, of course, I had the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. We have our NFL MVPs, which doesn't look like they're going to come true because, well, the NFL still feels it necessary to hand the MVP to a guy who didn't do much of anything this year. So my Aaron Rodgers pick and Dan's Aaron Rodgers pick and my Patrick Mahomes pick don't look like they're going to be fruitful, even though both of those guys were more successful at their position than Lamar Jackson was this year. As far as the next prop bet, Super Bowl MVP, there's still three picks up there that I made during the season: Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill. But after the Super Bowl props came out, I added one more on February 2nd, or not February 2nd, but for the game, and that was George Kittle at plus 2,500. And again, every one of these bets is $5. Again, before the Super Bowl came out, I made a Super Bowl outcome bet, plus 1,100, San Francisco over Kansas City. I'm actually hoping that one loses, as you will find out a little later on. And then we get into the fun ones. As the game starts off, the national anthem. This year, Demi Lovato, the recently out of drug rehab Demi Lovato, will be singing the national anthem. Now, there's two bets you can make: under 2 minutes for the national anthem, or over 2 minutes for the national anthem. I tend to always go with the over 2 minutes, despite the research that was put out there on some websites telling you how you should bet on the national anthem length. That research showed that Demi Lovato has sung the national anthem, I believe the number was between 5 and 7 different times for different sporting events. And only one of those times did the national anthem go over 2 minutes. However, I am of the belief that this is the number one sporting event in professional sports. And Demi Lovato is going to want to make herself visible because, like I said, just out of rehab and she's ready to be in the national spotlight again. So I think she's going to draw that thing out. And the way it goes is this: the beginning, from the time she starts singing to the end of the last word, is how the timing goes. So I'm taking over 2 minutes. I believe she's going to give me some of that gospel-y Ariana Grande 3 minute runs on a single note on most of these words. And we're going to easily be over 2 minutes. That's a minus 170 on that bet, but I'm going over 2 minutes. The next bet on the national anthem: will Demi Lovato wear a skirt, dress, or gown? I think she's going to. I put yes. That's a minus 240. Next one: will she forget or omit a word? I put yes. She's been out of play for a while. Something's bound to go wrong. Unless there's a teleprompter for her, I think she's going to either forget or omit a word. And I got a plus 650 bet on that. Scoring drive shorter than the national anthem. Again, if I'm going, the national anthem is a little bit over 2 minutes. Even these two teams, I don't believe that there's going to be a scoring drive under the length of the national anthem. I got a plus 130 on that. The distance of the longest penalty, this is going to be easy. That's going to over 15 and a half yards because there's bound to be a long defensive pass interference play on, or penalty on, in this game. And that was minus 135. The highest scoring quarter of the game, I picked quarter three at plus 425. I just think that after halftime, the two teams are going to be comfortable. And as we know, that's when Patrick Mahomes lights up the scoreboard. So give me the third quarter for the highest scoring quarter of the game. How many players will have a passing attempt? I went under 2.5. So I don't believe there's going to be anybody other than the quarterbacks throwing the ball in this game. Might be wrong on that, but hey, I got even money on that one, so we took that. The time remaining on the clock after the first score. So the first score in the game, what will the time be on the clock remaining? I made four wagers on this. It's $5 bets, so $20. I took between 5 minutes and 5 minutes and 29 seconds, between 6 minutes and 30 seconds and 6 minutes, 59 seconds, between 8 minutes and 8 minutes and 29 seconds, and between 9 minutes and 30 seconds and 9 minutes and 59 seconds. The best payoff on that, the 5 to 5.29 at plus 225. The others go plus 1600, plus 1400, and plus 1000. Here we go with some more fun ones. Total number of President Donald Trump tweets on February 2nd. This is from 12:01 tonight until 11:59 tomorrow. I have under 13.5, and that's a minus 170 payoff. Number of Trump tweets on February 2nd. Will the opening kick of the Super Bowl be a touchback? I'm taking a chance on this one because, I don't know, one of these times there's going to be a kick that's not a touchback. I took no, and I got a plus 155 on that, so I said no on opening kick being a touchback. What will happen first in the game, a sack or a touchdown? And I took sack at plus 130. A lot more time between the start of the game and the first touchdown where the odds are just there that there's going to be more defensive plays. Give me a sack. Longest score of the game. I say it's going to be a touchdown. I think there's going to be one big play in the game that's going to be a touchdown play, and that's obviously going to be longer than any field goal that will be kicked, and that's a minus 110. Here we go after the game. The color of the liquid poured on the winning coach. Again, I have three picks. I have lime, green, or yellow, and that's plus 300. I have clear or water, plus 165. And I have red, plus 550. And then here we go. Who will the MVP mention first? Now, there was a list of words that were included in this, so I'm not giving you all the words, but the two that I picked were teammates, plus 160, and God, plus 190. And then the next one is, will any kick be returned for a touchdown? I put yes, plus 500. I also believe that kick for a touchdown is going to be a kickoff. So I also took, will a kickoff be returned for a touchdown? I put yes at plus 1,400. The next one, will there be a special teams or defensive team touchdown? I took yes, plus 200. Will there be a flicker attempt? I put yes, 155. Will there be a roughing the passer penalty? Of course there will be. This is the NFL. You can't look at a quarterback cross-eyed without getting a roughing the passer penalty. Give me yes, plus 110. Will there be a successful two-point conversion? Yes, 225. Will there be offsetting penalties? Yes, plus 170. First commercial to appear. Michael Bloomberg or Donald Trump? As you know, both of these guys are putting out big-time commercials. Michael Bloomberg is going to be talking to you about how he's going to take your guns away, and Donald Trump's going to be putting a commercial out there about how he is making the country better and how we are winning as a country, having him as our president. I took Michael Bloomberg's commercial being first at plus 200, and of course, this goes from the kickoff of the Super Bowl to the end of the Super Bowl. This doesn't count the pregame. How many songs will be performed in Spanish during halftime? Well, considering we have Shakira and Jennifer Lopez, who play up the whole "we are Latin ladies," and they are. I took the over 1.5, minus 300. How many songs will be played during halftime? I put under 8. I got even money on that. How many times will Alex Rodriguez be shown during the halftime performance? I put over 1.5, and that was plus 325. The first J-Lo song, I took two of the lists that they have. I have On the Floor, plus 300. Let's Get Loud, plus 300. The first Shakira song, again, there was a list. I took two of them. Whenever, Wherever, plus 250. And Hips Don't Lie, because her hips do not lie, I put plus 850. The last song of halftime, I have two songs from the list. I have Live It Up, plus 185, or Let's Get Loud, plus 450. And there's four more left. That's it for props. Will Gloria Estefan make an appearance? I put yes, plus 200. And again, there's going to be somebody making an appearance. I just don't know who it is. Will Mark Anthony make an appearance? Yes, I put plus 400. Will Smith make an appearance? I put yes, plus 300. And then my favorite bet of the halftime show, will Shakira and J-Lo twerk during halftime? Again, easy money on this one. I put yes, plus 160. And that's it for the prop bets. Let's get into the stuff that matters, the Super Bowl itself. Right now, well, actually, when I made the bets for the Super Bowl, Kansas City was a 1.5-point favorite versus San Francisco. And I just think, despite all the talk about San Francisco's amazing defense, I believe that Kansas City's going to win this game. There isn't going to be any stopping Patrick Mahomes and those receivers. Great defense or not with San Francisco. Give me Kansas City minus the 1.5. And with that, I also took Kansas City on the money line. I have Kansas City and San Francisco over 54 points. I believe this is going to be a high-scoring Super Bowl. The first half might be pretty low, or first quarter might be pretty low scoring, but I think it's going to be total game over 54. The first half, I have Kansas City minus 0.5. I think Kansas City will be leading at halftime, and the minus 0.5 is basically a pick 'em. First half, over 26.5 points. I think that's pretty even, pretty fair. I took the over on that. First quarter, I have San Francisco plus 0.5. I think San Francisco, because you know what happens, Kansas City does not play very well in the first quarter. It takes them a little time to get going. So give me San Francisco plus 0.5 points in the first quarter. I took San Francisco the first quarter money line, and I took a first quarter of over 10 points. And then what I did was I parlayed all 8 of those picks, and that made my wagers on the game. And that, there it is, a lot of gambling for the Super Bowl. Remember, don't bet any more than you can afford to lose, and it's only gambling if you don't know what you're doing. So have fun. Enjoy the Super Bowl. I'll be watching everything, and we'll update you next week on all the picks. But for now, I'm going into the club by myself since Dan's not here, and we're going to have our fantasy girl for you. So here we go. That's right, it's time for the Fantasy Girl. You can check her out on the website, mycffl.com. Mycffl.com on the Fantasy Girl page. This is our Super Bowl Fantasy Girl, and her name is Candace Boucher. Candace Boucher is a South African model and actress. She was born October 17th, 1983, in Durban, KwaZulu-Natal, South Africa. When Candace was 17, She took part in her high school's annual pageant at the urging of her friends. She won the competition and a photo shoot with a local photographer who then sent those photos to an agency in South Africa, and the rest, as they say, is history. After graduating high school, Boucher moved to Cape Town to pursue her modeling career, and she has been a cover model for Cosmopolitan while also modeling for FHM, GQ, Fila, Speedo, Sports Illustrated, and Elle. Candace Boucher became the guest model in 2009, and then in 2010, she was on the cover of and had a pictorial in Playboy magazine. The photo shoot took place in Kenya and was entitled Undressed in Africa. Months later, she was on the cover of the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. Candace Boucher, the 36-year-old fashion model from South Africa, stands 5 foot, 10 inches tall. She has brown hair and blue eyes. She weighs 121 pounds and wears a size 6 dress. Her measurements are 34, 25, 36, and a bra size of 34C. So I got them all exactly correct. I get the bell since Dan's not here. So there she is, the Fantasy Girl of the Week, Candace Boucher, our Super Bowl Fantasy Girl. Enjoy her on the website, mycffl.com, on the Fantasy Girl page. And now it's time for, before we close it out, the Just One More Thing. Here we go.
Just one more thing.
Yeah, we don't do these that often, and we got one this week because we did have a major tragedy in sports. Maybe you've heard something about it. Kobe Bryant's helicopter went down, and Kobe Bryant died in California this past week. And I know this is a fantasy football podcast, but like I said, there's a sports tragedy and there's some discussion that needs to be made. And that's the whole Kobe Bryant situation. Anything that could be said about him dying in his airplane, in his helicopter crash, has already been said. But personally, I'm kind of getting fed up with all the unending adulation that is going on with Kobe Bryant. This actually has some perspective as to what I talk about when it comes to the NFL Hall of Fame each year. The Kobe Bryant death is a great illustration of what I always talk about. No one is saying, I am not saying that this guy wasn't a great basketball player, but the second it was learned that he had died, did it not turn into Kobe Bryant was the best basketball player of all time? I mean, there are people out there who are literally saying that the NBA should change the NBA logo to one that represents Kobe Bryant. There are NBA teams that Kobe Bryant never played on that are retiring the number 24 or retiring the number 8. What the hell is going on? There's a guy out there that is trying to change history from back when Kobe Bryant played his final game as a Laker, when he scored 60 points against the Utah Jazz. You remember the time Kobe Bryant was at the free throw line. He hit the first free throw to give him 59 points. On the second free throw, Gordon Hayward, then of the Jazz, steps into the lane prior to Kobe Bryant releasing the ball. Jim Gray, the guy who's trying to rewrite history, has now come out and is trying to sell the idea that Gordon Hayward realized that Bryant was at 59 points at that moment and that he stepped into the lane on purpose so that in case Kobe Bryant missed the free throw, he would have another opportunity to get the somehow now magical 60 points in that game. Jim Gray even went so far as to say he will always be a Gordon Hayward fan because he believes Gordon Hayward did step into the lane because he understands what is important about the game of basketball, and this unselfish move to give Kobe Bryant another shot at 60 points in case something went wrong was the height of unselfishness and appreciation of Kobe Bryant. Are you effing kidding me? For what it's worth, Hayward has come out and said that Jim Gray is completely wrong I mean, let's get serious. The rules in the NBA are merely suggestions to begin with, so to think that this was the first time another player stepped into the lane during a free throw and it was the first time that this happened is foolish at best. It happens multiple times during every NBA game. But this is what happens when a sports star dies. Either current sports star or retired one. They immediately get turned into the greatest player to ever play the game. Walter Payton dies. He gets an award named after him in the NFL. Junior Seau kills himself, and he gets put into the Hall of Fame immediately. However, Pat Tillman retires from the game of NFL football in the heart of his career to go and volunteer for the country that he lives in and was born in. He gets killed in battle, and he still cannot make the Hall of Fame. But yet, we put Junior Seau in after he kills himself immediately. Kobe Bryant dies. He gets put into the Hall of Fame immediately, and the history of the games that were played years ago get changed to make him look even better. Talk of changing the NBA logo starts, etc. Who are some of these other sports stars? There's a tennis guy, Arthur Ashe. Arthur Ashe dies. He gets an award on ESPN named after him, the Arthur Ashe Award of Courage. Arthur Ashe dies of AIDS, and all of a sudden that becomes extremely courageous, and ESPN needs to give him an award. It's stuff like this that just drives me crazy. If Kobe Bryant was so great, why wasn't there talk about changing logos before he died? Why did Jim Gray have to come up with this final game scoring 60% conspiracy with a lane violation theory come out earlier? Was it tragic that Kobe Bryant lost his life in a helicopter crash? Yes. On the other hand, it is starting to look like Kobe Bryant and his daughter only died because he was Kobe Bryant. It looks like special clearance was given for Kobe Bryant's helicopter ride to take off while all other flights, including police helicopters, were being grounded due to the terrible fog. Now, I was going to say I'm willing to bet that the story is going to come out that this helicopter that Kobe Bryant was flying in should not have even been flying at the time. And what did I learn today or last night? The helicopter did not have terrain warning alarms on it that would have helped prevent it from flying straight into the side of the hill during a foggy flight. And it turns out that the helicopter company was not even certified to be flying during that kind of weather. But this is what happens when there are superstars involved and in pretty much anything. Special permissions are given and chances are taken for them because of who they are. And for what? It turns out that Kobe Bryant was taking the helicopter ride up to Northern California to get to his precious basketball academy, and he was in the helicopter because he didn't want to have to deal with the traffic on the roads driving up there. So ignore all the warnings, ignore the weather, ignore the fact that the helicopter was not qualified to be flying at that time, the chopper pilot was not qualified to be flying at that time, no terrain warnings in the helicopter, but Kobe Bryant needed to get to his precious basketball camp and didn't want to drive into traffic like all the other rubes in America have to. And what happens? Kobe Bryant flies into the side of a hill. His daughter loses her life. Innocent daughter loses her life. And then six other passengers and the pilot lose their life. What has this world become? Take a car like everybody else, deal with traffic, or wait until the weather gets better. Quit making this guy into more than what he is just because he tragically died in an accident when he shouldn't have. And that's it. Again, Join us in a couple weeks. We'll go over all the Super Bowl results and see how we did on our bets. And then we'll also have some more fantasy football news for you because, as you know, we are coming close to the scouting combines for the rookies, and we're going to start going over all the positions, fantasy-relevant positions that will be tested during the scouting combines and where we think some of these players rank in draft positioning for the upcoming NFL draft. But until then, be sure to check out the website, mycffl.com. Check out all the information we have on the website. Also, send your email, cffpodcast@hotmail.com or danstrap1971@yahoo.com. Until the next episode, everybody, be good, and we'll talk to you then.